Hey everyone, before we get into the episode, just a heads up that Peter's audio was kind of rough. It is still listenable, but just wanted to let you know going in. Also, I was de-icing gutters all day, so I was pretty tired and then I rambled a little bit. But at Star Fox 64, I got fired up and I kind of went all over the place a little bit. But Georgia was a great addition. I think you're going to love the episode. And like I said, it's Star Fox 64. It's a fantastic game. It can only lead to great discussions. Hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to Back in My Play. This is episode number 49. For this episode, we're going to be talking about Star Fox 64 on the Nintendo 64. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I have two fantastic guests for this awesome episode this week. First off, back again on, I think he's using like a, I don't know, what kind of modem? Are you using like a 56K modem, using going through AOL to get access to the show?
And I'm using the Pikachu Speaks microphone from Nintendo 64 to record this. I figured that would be apropos.
Yeah. See, that's
kind of cool.
That's pretty good. That was I wish I was smarter and thought about that before I started recording this, but I'm going to give you that one. That's all good. And the other voice that you just heard, primarily video game related, from Isometric on the 5x5 network, that is Georgia Dow. Georgia, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is gonna be really good because this is first off a game that is very vital to the Nintendo 64 library, but also because it is still available today on recently or past consoles that were just released. I don't know. I had a lot of caffeine again. It's gonna be one of those shows. Let's take a quick break now that we got started, and we're gonna listen to some music from Star Fox 64. We'll come right back and talk about the history of the game, so stick around. Let's talk about the history of Star Fox 64, or if you're in Europe or Australia, the Liat Wars, which has a relation to the territory that Star Fox 64 takes place in. It was released in Japan in April 1997, not too soon after that. It was in July 1997 that it came out in North America, and then just 1 month later in the European regions in August. Just some quick dev history stuff. I didn't know this before going into this episode, but it's actually like a remake of the original Star Fox on the Super Nintendo, along with taking some concepts from the canceled Star Fox 2 that was made at the late stages of the Super Nintendo. There was a lot of great concepts. And then Nintendo was actually, I guess it was Shigeru Miyamoto who said, you know what? It's awesome what you did with Star Fox 2, but you know, we don't want people to be really looking at the Super Nintendo very much anymore. We got this new thing called the Nintendo Ultra 64 coming out, and we think you can take a lot of those concepts, use some more polygons, some more horsepower, and bring it over to the new console. So the story that has been told a thousand times is that this game was actually pretty much completed. There's reproduction versions of this game out there where you'll see some of the concepts that are brought over into Star Fox 64 in that game, including multiple vehicles and the all range mode that was, you know, just so well implemented into the Nintendo 64 version. If you really want to check this game out, you can literally pick up reproduction carts of this game and play pretty much a complete version that is about 30 minutes long. So it's very similar in length to the original Super Nintendo version. For Star Fox 64, Shigeru Miyamoto wanted to take his favorite English puppet drama, like puppets like the Thunderbirds, and bring that kind of look over to Star Fox 64. So that's why you have those like open and closed mouth, not really well animated in the N64 version, just to have that kind of English puppet drama look to it. Also, it made it easier because they were able to reduce the amount of animation. Two big things with this game were, of course, the four-player split-screen versus, which was vital to really any Nintendo 64 game that wanted to have legs. Those games like Mario Kart 64 and GoldenEye Perfect Dark, Mario Party, I guess, that still are really well, you know, thought of today and still played a lot today. And then the big one, the Rumble Pack.
This is the Rumble Pack. The big reason why Star Fox 64 is the coolest cinematic gaming experience there is. It's designed with a force feedback device that lets players feel the game.
Wait a second. You're telling me that this Rumble Pack actually lets players feel the game?
What, like you're actually in the cockpit, flying and fighting?
That's impossible.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Hook it up. I want to feel this myself.
Which we'll come back to, because this was an accessory that was very successful for this console. The composers for the game were, of course, Koji Kondo with Hajime Wakai. And we cannot talk about this game without talking about the Nintendo Power promotional VHS that was mailed to all of us Nintendo Power subscribers to get us hyped up for this game. And if you haven't seen it, and I know you guys have both seen it, but if you haven't seen it, I'm going to put the link in the show notes, and I'm going to be playing some clips right about here.
Word on the street is you got a new Nintendo 64 game coming out.
Could you be a little more specific? We got a lot of new games coming out.
Star Fox 64. Test pilot boy.
You want to know about Star Fox 64, eh?
Yeah, and you'd better tell us all you know. Or else.
Or else what? Or else, plumber boy here gets
What are you guys doing with Mario? No! Leave Mario out of this.
And then maybe a little bit later when we talk about some other stuff. But it was all about getting children hyped up for this game and having them going to their parents and just saying that we need to get Star Fox 64. Peter, I know as a historian, as a video game historian and collector, you must own a copy of this thing, right?
So I don't actually own a copy, but about a year ago, my friend Maxwell McGee, I got him to buy a copy off eBay because he loves Star Fox 64. And I know it's, yeah, I should totally have it.
It's horrible.
This is amazing. It's such a good video, and it's such a, like a quintessential slice of the 90s and captured like the most ridiculous side of the whole console war.
Well, I mean, Georgia, you were up in Canada at the time, so I'm guessing you did not get this copy of Nintendo Power. Did you get Nintendo Power at all?
I did get Nintendo Power. I loved Nintendo Power. And I don't remember actually seeing the promo video then, to be honest. You know, watching it back now, it shocks me how obnoxious it was. It was really, really obnoxious. Kind of plays down to kids, and you end up with the guy in the Sony shirt and the guy in the Sega shirt, and they're just everyone's obnoxiously yelling inanities at each other for the game. And I'm like, I don't know how that really, you know, imbues us to want to buy the game. But I did and loved it. So I guess it must have worked maybe subliminally for me not actually watching it.
You had to show every child how stupid Sony and Sega were. But
it kind of made them all stupid, no? Like, really? Didn't it make everyone look a little like they were all you know, with the megaphone telling them what, you know, where to find everything. Like, oh,
the guy was in a flight suit from Nintendo. Like, flight suits are pretty cool. Like, I mean, if
that's
you
true.
Any kind
that's
of
true.
Jumpsuit like that, like a Ghostbusters jumpsuit, I would totally, I'd be wearing that right now if I own one.
Well, that's what I'm wearing right now, actually, and it's orange, but
oh,
you know,
awesome.
I'm just saying the jumpsuit's cool. The megaphone might be going over the top.
Well, I thought it was more curious that there was multiple scenes of torture in this promotional video. In today's climate, in 2015, Nintendo probably not so inclined to, you know, use scenes of their mascot, Super Mario, being tortured with a vice or with electrocution. So that's, again, like Peter was saying, it's a piece of the 90s that just is really great to take a look at.
And it makes you wonder if this is why... This makes you wonder if this is why Nintendo of Japan is so, you know, strict with what they let Nintendo of America do these days. Because I know everything has to be approved over...
It all comes back to the Star Fox 64 promotional video. It's why Nintendo of America can't do anything on their own anymore. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
I was wondering why no one actually stopped to say, you're actually just torturing us, Stuffy. Like, it doesn't really matter. Go for it.
No, it's Super Mario.
Go to town. No one's actually getting hurt from this promo video. I'm like,
but as we know from, you know, popular media, kids cannot separate the
stuffed animal
from reality. No, totally. It's why
of course.
It's why we cannot have anything with guns in it in our video games, and that's why, you know, it's we have the ESRB. Like, if the ESRB rated this video, it would have been rated M for mature. Just because, again, scenes of torture. Like, look, think of that. You know, it's just, as long as they weren't doing anything too crazy, they didn't do any, like, waterboarding or anything like that, which is probably for the best. Also, it's really important to notice that there was a 3D remake that came out on the Nintendo 3DS, which fixed a lot of the issues with the original Star Fox 64, and is just a fantastic version of the game, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit. But before we go into the break, here are some more just really choice clips from this promotional video to give you some more context to how stupid it really is.
And that is one killer lineup. Boy, are we in big trouble. We just can't beat you guys.
Yeah? Well, as much as we'd love to stick around here and keep playing with you guys, we gotta go.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
We're going all the way back to really the summer of 1997 when the Nintendo 64 was hitting its stride with games like GoldenEye coming out in 97 and Star Fox 64. There was a lot of great content really hitting the console at that time. And I think it was even another game. It's like three games like back to back to back that came out that really drove sales when it really just came up with Super Mario 64, and that was it. We had to wait for games on like the PlayStation. But Georgia, I got to ask you, 1997 was a pretty good time. Were you playing Star Fox 64? What was it like?
It was actually, I would have friends come over every weekend and we would play three games in a row. We'd play Bomberman 2. Just because it's a great game. And then we'd play GoldenEye, and then we'd play Mario Kart, and then we'd play Star Fox, all on the multiplayer versions. And it was a blast. And we would just run through them every single Saturday we would do that. We'd have four people come by and some people would wait, and whoever won had to like get booted out so that other people would have a chance on the games. And we just played those games all night ad infinitum, one after another.
Did you get the Star Fox 64 box set that included the Rumble Pack?
We did. It was amazing. I was really excited to get the Rumble Pack. And the first time that the Rumble Pack went off, I was really shocked. It was much more powerful than I would expect it to. And it was fabulous. It was a really good, and I don't know, it was a little jarring. Like the first time that you have something and you're like, I didn't expect that. But it was just great because you get this feedback when you're getting hit. You knew it, and it wasn't just from on the screen. And so it kept your mind in the game, and it also added that air of, you know, damage and danger. So you really wanted to, you know, fly better, spin that R-wing. Like, you're like, no, I have to get out of here. I am in danger. And so it gave a really great experience to while you're playing, and I loved it for when we were playing multiplayer.
Would you say that the Rumble Pack was the big reason Star Fox 64 is the coolest cinematic gaming experience there is?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think that the game is just fabulous on its own, even without a Rumble Pack. I know I'm going out on a limb here, but I love the game. I think that the game is it's a great idea. It was really well done, and I enjoy the game even without the Rumble Pack. I think the Rumble Pack, you know, it was almost like a gimmick. It was like this kitsch gimmick thing. It just worked so well, and the game was so good that they worked together. And I think that Star Fox 64 did as much for the Rumble Pack as the Rumble Pack did for Star Fox 64.
So were you guys were just playing like versus, you were doing dogfights, all range of mode?
Well, it's kind of funny because you in order to get to release, you know, you could end up using your Land Cruiser, and then you could end up being like, you know, a little person running around, you know, in the levels. So you had to play the game as well. And so this is one of the games that I thought it was very even. So I played the game, you know, we played every single level and tried to get everything in it so that we could get the little people running around. And then we realized how useless they truly were. I don't know. We have to talk strategy on if you guys use the little tiny men to run around in versus mode, because that was really hard. You're running around some sort of beam trying to make sure that you could shoot someone before they found you and killed you.
Well, I'm sure you had the Nintendo Power issue number 98 that had all the strategies you needed, not even included. Like, they even had a strategy guide for it, but you just had issue 98. You're good to go.
Okay, tell me, what was the strategy guide for when you had the little people running around fighting against an R-Wing?
No, I think they were just like, hey, man, okay, you gotta save Falco so you can go through the, you know, waterfall, and then you can get secret exit, and then you can fight that same boss from the original game.
Right. Right. Well, you see, because we just would run around, like try to hide, run around a pole, then try to run to another pole. So by the time the R-Wing made it around, they're not going to like bomb you. But yeah, it was a really amazing set of years.
Peter, were you playing this multiplayer, or were you just like, man, I just want to experience this cinematic story of Star Fox 64?
You keep going back to it being a cinematic story.
Well, let me take a step back.
You never said it was a good cinematic story.
But think about this. This is coming from GameSpot.com. GameSpot declared Star Fox 64 was, quote, an instant classic, and was impressed by the voice acting. Reviewer Glenn Rubenstein noted that the game is, quote, a pleasure to look at, and liked the cinematic quality of the storyline. This is coming from your publication. This is the site you worked for
18 years ago.
I don't know, man. Sometimes you got to stand behind that stuff.
All right. Well, okay. So no, I wasn't, to answer your original question, I was not playing so much of the multiplayer. At the time, I was playing this game mostly with my friend, who I seem to bring up every single episode. Because we're talking about the 90s, it's basically me and my one friend who just played games all the time.
Dude, I hear you, man. I had one video game friend. It's not like everyone had a Nintendo 64. Those things were expensive.
Yeah. But no, like Star Fox 64, to me, it was always what I imagined the original Star Fox to be in my head. Like, when playing it, you know, going back now, I see how rudimentary it was. But at the time, when I first played Star Fox on the SNES, Star Fox 64 was how I saw it. And so finally being able to play Star Fox 64 and not have to fool myself into thinking it looked good was great. And the Rumble Pack was such a compliment. It was such like a a 2-in-1 gift. And it was, you know, Star Fox was one of my favorite games, and to just have it realized in this way was, man, like, so great.
It was an incredible value to get that Rumble Pack with the game in the same box.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, and then, you know, at a time when we came out of years of companies trying to sell ridiculous add-ons for way too much money, you know, here's Nintendo, you know, and again, they did it with the expansion pack, with the 4 MB RAM expansion pack down the road. They really nailed that proposition of, hey, make your gaming experience a little bit more high tech. Also, here's a great game to go with it.
Donkey Kong 64, right?
What was it, that, or was it Perfect Dark? I don't remember.
I think I'm pretty sure Perfect Dark did not come with it.
Okay.
There may have been a special limited edition. I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, we're talking this a long time ago. We're trying to do our best to go back into our memories that have been overwritten with other garbage that we've learned since then. But I think about it this way. I want to go back to that cinematic experience when, you know, Glenn, obviously he was a really big fan of the voice acting and, you know, the cinematic look. For that time, it kind of was like you had some really good camera angles and, you know, the great things like use bombs wisely. You had your people that you were flying with helping you out.
And they did. That's true.
Like, think about that tip. Like, he kept, I remember I played this boss recently for the next segment that I'll talk about this, but like that was actually very important because I spent the first like 2 minutes not knowing what to do because I didn't remember. And then I always hear this like use bombs wisely, you know, joke. Everyone like says it. And there's even someone who I can't remember on a podcast who has that as their Twitter handle. I feel horrible blanking on it, but
that's great.
Oh man. I think it might be for someone from Retronauts. Anyways, what was I trying to say? But like, it was just straight and to the point. Like for this was a straight up action game where you got orders from like General Pepper, who would say things like, recover our base from the enemy army. Fox would just say, Roger, General. That's it. Yeah. That's all you're going to know.
Yeah. Yep. I kind of see Star Fox like a remake of Star Wars, right?
Yes.
Because you have the opening.
That was my next point. Oh, yeah.
Is that your next? I'm stealing it from you. Do you want to do it?
No. I got the writing
coming in, you know, and then you have like the ship and the ship's huge-ish. And you have like your Fox McCloud, the perfect hero. You got Peppy Hare, who's like C-3PO because he's annoying. He's always there to bring up and taunt you by the fact that whenever it's a really important thing, he's reminding you about your dead dad.
Oh, my God. How much do they bring up his father? Holy crap.
They just want it. He's taunting him. I think he's really taunting him. And then you have like Falco, who's like Han Solo. He's really cocky and sarcastic and know-it-all. Mm. You know, his favorite quotes are like, you know, saved by Fox, how swell. And, you know, guess you're good for something. And then you end up with Slippy, who's like Luke to me, just because he does a lot of whining. You're constantly trying to save him at every single turn and get him out of trouble. He probably has about the same amount of accuracy as any other stormtrooper. And his best quotes, I guess, are like, ah!
Wait,
and,
is Slippy a guy?
I don't know.
Like a male
I would be
frog?
Really insulted if Slippy was a girl.
Yeah.
Now I have to look it up.
I mean, this is like later segment stuff, but you know, the portrayal of the female fighter, you know, R-wing pilot, not super great. But again, 1997 Japanese video game surprise.
I think we're missing one key piece of the Star Wars connection here.
What's that?
And
yes.
So you guys have seen the trailer for the upcoming film, right?
Of course.
Yes.
What about that moment when they show the X-Wings like hovering right over a lake or, you know, flying like low over a lake?
Yeah.
That was just like Corneria. The moment I saw that, I thought, damn, if that's not Star Fox.
The guy in the cockpit was probably saying like all range mode. I bet that's what he said before, because that's what I
think of. Check your G-diffusers.
You got to check the G-diffusers. That's part of the startup process. Everyone knows that. But you got to like make sure – like you take a look at this game, and it is so weird that you guys are bringing up Star Wars, because that's the first thing that I thought of when they go all range mode and like the wings expand and then you get some more of like an attack mode, just like in Star Wars where that X-wing goes from like into that split X formation. which I always love that scene, even in like the remake when, not the remake, I guess like the special edition or whatever they did in 97 when they put that extra scene in when they're going to the Death Star and like all the X-Wings are starting to open up and stuff like that. Like yeah. That is just a badass scene. And I know people don't like those versions of the movies, but that scene is awesome.
That is a great scene. I think they're missing the one like ending part that I was hoping for, though. And that is that, you know, Andross is not really Fox's dad.
Well, I mean, sure.
Or maybe he is. We just don't know it yet.
I mean, they're making a new one. The Wii version right. is coming.
They could so. Fix this.
I'm sure Shigeru Miyamoto is like, of course. Like that's
He's
that's
listening right now.
The logical going, next step. That's a good idea. The logical next step to just complete the circle because Star Wars is big.
Or he
again
brings
now.
In Jar Jar and we all have to, you know,
I think he kind of already did that. I don't know. I didn't really play the GameCube ones, but, you know, a couple things. Just first off, I had two best friends at the time this game came out. Like I had my sports best friend and my video game best friend, one who I'd go play sports with and stuff. And we'd like do active stuff at his house. Like we play American Gladiators in his backyard. And then I had the video game friend who always got like, he was, always getting the latest game. My friend Jeff, and for his birthday party, he got Star Fox 64. And this was a like even better. This was also going to be a sleepover for me. I was going to sleep over and we were going to play Star Fox 64 and his little brother was there as well, his stepbrother, and he had three controllers. He had two first-party controllers, but you never want to be that kid with that third-party N64 controller because
so
those
true.
Those things suck. And
that's so true.
And there and there's there you're always gonna like have that kid who's like, oh man, who's gonna have the third party? Like he had. I remember. I even looked it up. It was the Performance SuperPad 64, which is like the one you see in. Like I remember there were even shortages of the N64 controllers when this thing first came out. So you'd see these third-party controllers in your EB Games or your Babbage's, and it was the Performance SuperPad 64 from the brand Performance, which obviously it wasn't even like Mad Catz. It wasn't even like a brand that we'd even remember today. But that is what I was stuck with because you can't kind of give your stepbrother the you know, crappy controller because they just got married and all this stuff. And they was trying to include him in all this. So it was like lots of politics involved with this, but, I was stuck with a third party controller the whole night of playing Star Fox 64.
No.
Yeah. So we're playing versus like three player versus. And, it was a sour memory for me, but, I didn't care because you guys remember Shadows of the Empire, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, not a fantastic game, but it had, two great stages with awesome, like all ranged mode, space battles or like the Hoth battle. And then you had the last stage where you had to go into the middle of the, you know, space station and blow it up like of any Star Wars movie. And, I love that stuff so much. Like I would replay those levels over and over and over again. And then with the Star Fox 64, I got like a much better version of that. So I saw him playing this game and I absolutely loved it, but then I had to go home and I didn't have that game. So, I only got to play it when I was at his house, which wasn't a lot. He lived like 25 minutes away, which is a long distance when you're a kid. But, what I'm trying to say is that this game's awesome.
When you played the versus mode, what vehicle did you use?
I was always R-Wing. I thought like the R-Wing itself was just so much fun to use. And I remember back then, like seeing Star Fox 64 and seeing those first levels and seeing the lock-on mechanic, like the charge shot lock-on mechanic. I thought, oh my God, it's like game, like this game is must be super easy because you're so overpowered being able to lock onto enemies compared to Super Nintendo version, which I owned, where you're like always kind of like in the middle, but you're trying to angle your shots. And it's always, you didn't even have that reticule in front where you kind of saw the trajectory of the shot. but now you have this lock-on mechanic where all you do is you like, Panzer Dragoon style, you just put the reticule across a guy, it's locked on, you can go somewhere else, you just let go and it just travels and finds him and blows him up. You're unstoppable in an R-Wing.
Yeah.
And you could do barrel rolls. It's,
yeah, exactly. It's so much more. It's the Landmaster is just not even close to as powerful.
Yeah.
Just sitting ducks.
The vehicles themselves were awesome to have those involved, the R-Wing, the Landmaster, and the Blue Marine all in one game, which is, again, if you go take a look at Star Fox 2.
I don't know about the Blue Marine, though. The Blue Marine was a little like, meh, you know.
Well, I mean, those stages chug. Like, those stages are like, you're talking sub 20 frames per second on some of these stages on the Nintendo 64 version, which back then, you just accepted that. Like, you look at something like even Ocarina of Time, like, you're chugging at 25 for most of the time. For this game, like, you were used to it. It's Nintendo 64. It's not going to run at 30, let alone 60 frames per second. But... yeah, so I mean, the last thing I want to say, I eventually got it. I eventually got the player's choice version, which did not include the Rumble Pack. So,
oh no,
this was a big deal. I needed a Rumble Pack, and I already had GoldenEye. So, again, I went to Babbage's or EB Games. I forget what it was at the time. It was one or the other, and I got a Thunder Pack. So, Thunder Pack, not the Rumble Pack, because the Rumble Pack was rather expensive. I think it was like $25 or $30 just for that. And you're comparing that to a $60 version of Star Fox 64, which it comes with. So it's hard to justify as a kid $30 for a Rumble Pack where that's half a game. Like, I can't really justify that on something that's going to shake my controller. So I got a Thunder Pack that was on clearance for about $10, and it was pretty good. And it also had two-speed Rumble. It had... I don't know if the original... Actually, I have a Rumble Pack right here. No, I'm looking at it right now. There's no speed control on this Rumble Pack.
Huh.
There's just one speed. On the Thunder Pack, you get two speeds. So if you're looking to pick one up today, maybe you look at a Thunder Pack if you want that variable speed.
Now, why would you use the different speeds?
It was... I don't know. It was a gimmick to sell the thing. It was a battery saving.
Okay, I was just wondering. Like once...
I remember it shook
really
the hell out of the controller.
Feel the power...
I don't know.
You're gonna put it up to super mode.
You're playing GoldenEye. You want to kind of keep it on a rather, like, you want to feel like you're actually shooting Russians or whatever. Like, you want to feel like you're actually shooting a gun. So I guess that's why they implemented it. I don't know.
That was their reason to make it better than a Rumble Pack, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you gotta have a gimmick.
Two modes.
There was
you
some with
one
memory
more thing
cards
there.
Too. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I get that.
And
was it as good as a Rumble Pack, by the way?
No.
Okay.
Because
two modes,
didn't feel,
but none
it,
of them are no. Rumble Pack level.
It didn't like the Nintendo first party accessories were always fantastic. And
yes.
you I mentioned with the performance Super Pad 64, not necessarily going to feel as good. And it was like oddly shaped. And then with this, like it would rumble like crazy. And I remember the Rumble Packs were super loud. Like this is, like if you were in the N64 back then, like you were on N64.com, like I was reading reviews of these things and trying to figure out which is the right one to buy because I couldn't spend $30, but I could get one of these third party ones for like 10 or 15 bucks. And I saw the Thunder Pack got pretty good reviews like in GamePro or something. So that was the one I went with.
I get it.
It was a big deal. Like it sounds stupid, but it was... A very important accessory.
It totally is, because you want to have the full experience. And I think exactly that when the people, you know how much your friends like you depending on which controller they give you. They give you the real Nintendo quarters.
That's a good
they like
point.
You. The poor person that gets that, the third-party controller, you know.
You're not my best friend. Pack, you're like, a friend, but you're not like, you're
yeah,
not as
you know
good
where
as
you people. Know where you stand. The hierarchy is given out right away.
Oh, man. That's some messed up, like, Children of the Fly stuff.
It's so true, though. It's so true.
Totally. Also, I used to always walk around saying, good luck. I don't know why. I love that.
Did you?
I was obsessed with Flight of the Navigator as a kid. I don't know if you guys know that movie.
No.
Oh, You get, okay.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it before.
Oh man. All right. Side tangent because people on the Player One podcast know how great my movie tastes are. But Flight of the Navigator is a great 80s movie where a kid gets picked up by this alien spaceship with an AI built into the spaceship, and it is damaged, and it's voiced by Pee Wee Herman, the spaceship AI, and not like it's Pee Wee Herman, but not as Pee Wee Herman, but a little bit. They pick up this boy, and he has to pick him up because his navigation system is damaged, so he needs the young brain of a human to be able to pilot itself back to wherever it came from. So I don't remember why it did, but it takes this child from his time, like in 1985, and then takes him to like 1992, 7 years later, and he just reappears out of nowhere. It's like those stories where like a kid disappears and then he just miraculous. It's like an episode of The X-Files. Like a kid reappears 10 years later and he's completely the same. He hasn't aged. He looks completely the same. He's in the same clothes when he left. And then that's like all I'm going to give you, because you really need Flight of the Navigator. It is actually a really good science fiction movie.
It is a must see.
I would give it, I would say it's a must see. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It's a really good time travel movie. I will watch it.
And then I'm going to have to see if that's the truth.
If you rent it on Amazon,
it's funny
because
I used to also quote, quote from Star Fox, but it's not a quote that you could have ever used in any way, shape, or form, because my favorite line of the entire thing was Andross's enemy is my enemy. And you can't do that as some sort of intro, you know, like, hey, I'm Georgia, Andross's enemy is my, like, you can't really, it doesn't go over really well, but that's my favorite line of the entire, and that's what I think of every time someone says Star Fox 64. Like, yes.
One of the privileges of working at GameSpot is that I can say something like that and do and get a whole audience. And it just becomes a series of quotes. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, I love it. Well, you could also just have it like on loop, right? You could have it there. Oh, you know, you can play. Like, that's awesome.
Get the iPhone app. Well, Nintendo should be in this iPhone app market of soundboards for old video games, where you can just have people like walk up and say, use bombs wisely.
Yeah. Yes. Or here, something like this.
Do a barrel roll. That's something I tell people whenever they're in
all
trouble.
The time.
All
Andross's enemy is my enemy.
Are you serious?
There we go. That's
yeah. Did you just like pull that up on your phone?
Bow before the great Andross.
Free? Yeah, I do.
Glenn, you were so right in that review. Oh my God, that voice acting, just top tier stuff. Really, really great. I can understand why you gave it such a high mark in GameSpot's review.
He was right.
Totally right. But yeah, this is a really messy game from my past. Like I said, I was going all over the place just because this game was like 1997 was a weird part of my life. I was 11. Like, things were changing, and Star Fox 64 was just like right in the center of everything that was going on.
Right.
So thank you, Star Fox 64. Peter, anything else? Like, what's your favorite quote from Star Fox 64? Was it something that would give people encouragement, or were you like a Falco person, just like to put people down?
What's your personality really like?
Yeah. Oh, this is a great test.
I'm like in a weird corner right now because it really is the, you know, Andross's enemy is my enemy. That's the one.
No, really?
I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
Oh, we're BFFs now.
Hey,
I love it.
There you go.
It's
not to be unoriginal, but yeah, that's the one.
It's a quotable game, and it's much better than like blah, 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 blah.
Oh, no. But see, those are good too.
Yes.
Well, me and Maxwell, who I mentioned before, we would have whole conversations like
couldn't be better.
good luck.
Great.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
I think we should all, like, whenever there's just a major life event coming up for someone, that's what I'm going to plan to do from now on, is just like, good luck. And in my best, like, Flight of the Navigator Rob voice, which I don't know if that Rob has any relation, like an in-joke for like Rob the Robot or something like that, but...
Oh, wait, let me get my Rob the Robot. I have a Rob. Here's my Rob. I have him. He does work. And I have a Nintendo, so I could actually have him playing the horrible game, but I just bought him because he's adorable, so...
Play some Jeremiah. That could be his voice.
Yeah.
Or Stack Up?
Stack'em. Or Stack Up, yeah.
Stack'em.
Oh, man. Nintendo accessories. Let's just do Nintendo's accessories. Like, let's talk about the Power Glove.
Yeah. Did it electrocute you?
Well, did it electrocute you?
I think that's a better question. It would electrocute
some people. Some people were electrocuted with the Power Glove.
Huh.
So it was not me per se. I didn't actually get it. It's one of the fewest accessories that I didn't have.
I had one. Rad Racer is pretty good.
Did you really? And did you enjoy it?
No, it was the large size, and I was like 8, so like my hand would move around inside of it. It was really hard to get it to stay on my arm.
Yeah.
It was nothing.
I didn't have the...
Oh, go ahead, Peter. Sorry.
I didn't have the Power Glove, but I did play, I think it was called Super Glove Ball or Power Glove Ball.
Totally.
Just with a regular controller.
That game's all right.
Yeah, that game's not bad. I mean, it's so simple. But
it's like a 3D. It's like a 3D game. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm like totally not doing a good job directing this episode. So we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to go back to 2015 and talk about what it's like to revisit this fantastic game, and potentially, you know, what version should you get. So stick around. We'll be right back. Made it all the way back to 2015, and we're going to be talking about what it's like to revisit this amazing game almost 20 years later. Peter, how did you play this game? What did you play it on? And what did you think, man, after playing it, you know, playing it so many years after its initial release?
Well, to be clear, I do play this game somewhat often, so it's not totally like strange for me to play it again.
It's in the rotation.
This time. Yeah. But this time, because the new 3DS is out and it has the more stable 3D feature, I played it on that. And I picked it up, the 3DS release, right about when it came out. And I thought the 3D was really great, but playing the game, it wasn't feasible because you get those sort of tense moments where you move a little bit. And so I turned the 3D off. But man, it is so freaking good in this game on the new 3DS.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can recommend to play it again. I mean, I guess the original still stands up, but I think the best experience is on the new 3DS.
So, is it still give it like, what do you guys do like 0.5 grades, right? What do you give it?
No, we don't do 0.5s anymore.
Or just straight numbers.
Yeah. Oh, for me, it's a 9.
Yeah. All right.
I guess.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So it holds
up. Now I need 1,000 words to justify that, but so it's campy, right? In so many ways that are on purpose, and now sort of just because of the difference, the way the game is aged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sucker for on-rails games, and this is one of those games where you're on rails, but you really do feel like you have a lot of control. And sometimes, you have some say in where you go down the path. But the mechanics are simple, but they're rock solid. I think that the challenge, which is so variable depending on where you go, throughout the Lylat system, is really great because it's got so much replayability. And, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it doesn't really matter. For this game, I think it's a great thing. And it totally stands up to me. It's just such a pure, simple, refined game. That's just great.
I got to ask, Panzer Dragoon or Star Fox 64?
Star Fox 64.
Hands
I like
down.
Panzer Dragoon for how weird it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I like Panzer Dragoon series for how different it is. But no, Star Fox 64 is just tuned in almost every aspect, like just the right way.
Fair enough. Georgia, how'd you play it? How do you think it holds up?
I played it on the original. I have my Nintendo 64 with the original controllers. I use the original Nintendo controller, and it's amazing. I got the cartridge out.
What about the Rumble Pack? Did you have the Rumble Pack?
Don't blow your cartridges.
I did not put in the Rumble Pack. I think I have it somewhere. But no, I didn't use the Rumble Pack. I probably should have, because now I feel sad about not using it. But it's still such a great game and a lot of fun. And for me, it has that quality of bringing back childhood good memories of playing with friends and getting to enjoy and shoot things down and just hearing all the lines play that I remember from, when I was young. So it has some iconic memories as well. So I don't know if someone that had never had those would have as much of a fond feeling as I would. Mm. But I think it's still an amazingly well done game. It's simple. It's easy to use. It's a lot of fun. And so I have to say it still really does hold up. And I do also, as well as Peter, play this game, with four player mode every once in a while. We're like, let's hook it up and let's play anyways. So it's still a game that I would play.
You got to watch out. Those joysticks are those, like, whatever it is, the sticks and those N64 controllers. Man, those things break down super fast.
There's actually a pretty big market on eBay for replacement parts. As someone who, like, goes to flea markets and gets, like, lots of, systems and games a lot, I come across those controllers all the time. But it's, honestly, it's, like, less than $10 to fix them.
Wow.
Maybe even less than $5. Yeah.
Wow.
Get replaced.
Now you can just print your own and hook them up.
Yeah, there you go. That's my tangent for the show.
So, Georgia, would you say this is like, I'm getting the feeling from both of you guys, it's just like going back and watching a movie that you love.
Well, I don't watch movies more than once, except for very, very few. Like, there's very few movies. So this is different. This is better than that for me, because I how many ways can you, like, shoot down your friends in the air in an R-Wing and hear them cry like Slippy when they're going down?
Totally.
And then see them explode on the screen? Like, that's priceless.
I played this game to completion on the N64 and on the 3DS. So I'm going to come from both sides here, but... Man, we talked about it previously, but that frame rate in underwater stages, in the tank stages, when you're like chasing the train, or actually both the tank stages, in the final level, that thing chugs like sub 20 frames per second. But that's exactly what it was like. Peter, you'll remember I talked about this when we did the Super Nintendo version, but I almost liked that. Like, I just felt like I was getting, like, this is pushing the system so hard. Like, it is sweating under the power of Star Fox 64. And I even checked my N64 when I was done. That thing was like hot to the touch. Maybe that's more of a problem with my hardware, but it is still an unbelievably fantastic, fun game that holds up because it doesn't try to do anything too crazy. Like I said, except for the frame rate, the mechanics are still a blast. You still are doing, you're locking on. You get sections like bosses or even whole stages where you get to go into all range mode. And that just gets me fired up. Like, all range mode is just so much mm-hmm. fun. You have this open area yeah. where you can fly and do these dog fights, which are just a ton of fun. And I mentioned before, but this is the only time like I really realized, probably because I played through it 2.5 times, once on the N64 and almost 2 times on the 3DS again today. But they always bring out Fox's father. You're saving me just like your father. And like you said, George is like, oh, you're almost as good as your father, Fox. And I don't know, like, why his father is so important. But I guess that's what we're all trying to do, is live up to our father, what our father did, or like that's a common trope that they just decided to use. I'm surprised.
That's, I mean, you remember the story, right? Like how they set it up in the very beginning.
No, I'm hammering the start button, dude.
Oh, Kevin. So Peppy, Fox's dad, and the pig guy who was on Andross's side, they were part of a squad that went out to Venom to try to stop Andross. And during that trip, I can't remember his name, but the pig guy sort of was like a double crosser and, like, you know, turned on everybody. So Peppy and Fox's dad were held on Venom, but Peppy escaped. And so Peppy comes back, grabs Fox and says, we got to go save your father and defeat Andross and save the whole star system.
That's
so right at the beginning,
stuff. It's
like Fox is the redeemer.
I mean, that's pretty cool and all, but I still probably would have just focused on shooting stuff and using my bombs and stuff. But I'm surprised neither of you guys brought up Star Wolf, which the awesome rivalry. You have like this mirror team that you have to fight up against on two stages where you are doing awesome, like space, one's in space and one's like on a planet, but these battles against the Star Wolf team, which are like the mirror version of your team. So you're actually getting to almost have a multiplayer like environment with a bunch of other enemies in there. So you're getting to do your like awesome, like on the N64, it's like the right C button to in like a direction on the analog stick. And you get to do your awesome cinematic maneuvers with your R-wing to like flip over or like spit around and go in the opposite direction when you're doing these fights.
Yeah, do the U-turn.
Oh, it's awesome.
And like, they get all frustrated too. Yeah. They actually explain frustration.
I just loved hearing the trash talking. That was so great. Hearing them all complain. It was a lot of fun.
It makes you feel like it is Star Wars for kids. Like, I know Star Wars is for kids, but it was Star Wars for the N64. Like, those battles were just, they suck you in. And even today, same thing as you, Peter, I was playing on the new 3DS with that 3D jacked all the way up, and you're literally having like lasers shot at your face. Like, it is even that much more intense on the 3DS, and it's also running like much closer to 60 instead of 20 frames per second, which adds a little bit to the excitement of the game. And you do have two companions that like pop in randomly in the game, like out of nowhere. Bill,
oh, right.
who jumps in, who's also in like an R-Wing, who's just like, Bill is like your Southern. It's like they had a guy like that in Gears of War as well. It was just like a guy with like a cowboy hat on who would just come in and just say things with a Southern accent, which is kind of funny, I guess. And I think some of this was based on how you performed earlier in the stage. And then they would sometimes also come with you to the next stage to help you out if you made sure that they did not get too damaged in this previous stage. I'm not sure about that. Like even with this game, like you have alternate paths, obviously based on if you have mission complete or mission accomplished. Again, thank you, Nintendo Power. And then there's also Cat. Cat is the female fighter pilot who is just, again, 1997 Japanese video game, saying the things that you would think would be coming out of a female character from a Japanese video game from 1997. Which, you know, you think they would have, since they redid the voice work, you think they could kind of fix some of that stuff in the 3DS version, but they didn't. So that's kind of a bummer. But
Well, you know, that's what always happens.
Yeah. Level design is still great, and Koji Kondo and the other composer need to be commended for, I mean, you're on rails, obviously, but the way that the music lines up with the stages for like when enemies like will appear out of nowhere. You're in space battles where enemies will be hiding behind a spaceship and like the music will just come up like right as they appear. Just again, giving you that awesome epic feeling. The boss battles are still fun. For some reason you're fighting bioweapons, one that's on a sun. I don't know how bioweapon would survive on the sun, and one underwater. I don't know if that had anything to do with just like protecting the environment, but a bioweapon underwater was pretty cool. Weapon underwater. And I say, like, I played through this game 3 times in 2 days. Like, it's still a ton of fun. Like, it is a blast. And if you have a 3DS, easy recommendation to pick it up. And I actually played through the Japanese N64 version, which is also interesting to hear the Japanese voices of all your favorite Star Fox characters. So if you want, and if you're in Japan, like, the game is like $5 in Japan, so you can always pick it up there. Yeah, so I wrote down a lot of stuff because I just kept like having a blast with this game. It's just so much fun. I don't know. I'll arrange.
It is. It's an amazing game. Like, even the names of the characters are hilarious. Like, you know, the frog Leon Pawlowski. you know, it's just they have some of the best. They have just some of the best ideas, and they put a lot of feeling into a game that was made so long ago.
If you want to have some fun, go to the Star Fox Wikia, Wikia, or it's starfox.wikia.com, and they have the whole script for the game. If you want to actually go through, and that's where I got some of those quotes, like, just go and look at some of the, you know, the things, like you said, Falco was saying, or just stupid stuff the bosses would say to you to try to antagonize you. Really, really great stuff. And it was Rob 64 was the name of the character. So it was Rob 64, because everything on the Nintendo 64, of course, needed to have the number 64 after it. Yeah, just really, really great stuff. Well, I will say, like I said, you can pick this up on the Nintendo Wii Shop. It's not on the Wii U Virtual Console, but you can pick it up on the Wii Virtual Console and play it on there if you want to go that route. Or on the 3DS, the cart is actually pretty expensive now. It's going to run you about $40 plus for a used version of the game. And the N64 version is running about $15 or less for a loose cart on the N64. So you can go that route as well. So that's going to probably be it for that segment. Peter, any final thoughts on, you know, going back to Star Fox 64? It sounds like you're going to continue to play it on your multiplayer sessions.
Oh, no, I'm just going to play it single player. But yeah, no, play that game. Go back however you can and play that game. It's such a great little perfect package. And dare I say, the best game on the Nintendo 64.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
What do you mean?
I don't know if we want to open that can of worms. What do I mean?
Like, those are fighting words.
Is it better? It's better than both of the Zelda games. It's better than GoldenEye. It's better than Perfect Dark. It's better than WWF Warzone.
Okay, well, now you went a little far.
Those
there.
Were good wrestling games.
I was with
those,
you till you
good wrestling games on the 64. No, look, I think 64 had a great library of games, especially from Nintendo. But I think Star Fox is, I mean, for me, it's a close, like, Super Mario 64 is the second best.
Sure.
And I mean that from a, like, you know, like, today, like, going back today to play Nintendo 64 games, for me, those are the two games that hold up the most. And the fact that I can pick up Star Fox and get so much more out of it in an hour than I can, I think, any other game on that system, Super Mario 64 included, that for me says it. At least, you know, for me, it's the best game on the Nintendo 64.
Jeez, man. I'll give it my top 5.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Ocarina of Time, though, man. Like, that, like, I haven't done an episode on that, but that game is just, that is the most magical video game experience I may have ever had in my childhood. Like, that was a very important game.
It was. I don't disagree. I don't know.
I got to ride a horse.
Like I said,
that's great. All right, Georgia. any final thoughts on Star Fox 64?
Well, I think that everyone should at least at one point, you know, get your own R-Wing and like play versus with your friends and just experience it. It is so much fun. And you know, a line that I actually do use is I do say, "Let's kick some tail," which is a quote from Falco. Modified slightly to get rid of the "come on, Fox," but I use that all the time just because I think it's cute.
You should include that part too.
Yeah, exactly. "Come on, Fox." Like, "No, my name's Bill." "No, Fox, let's kick some tail."
You're much more of a fox than a Bill.
Right.
Georgia, right. Do you have any, like, do you have like a wish list for the Wii U version of Star Fox that is supposedly coming this year? Anything you want to see?
You know, for me, it's more about the, I would like it to be like an all open mode. Mm. I would love for it to have multiplayer and, you know, as long as it has multiplayer, different vehicles, different, you know, ships, I'm good to go. Like, really, that sustains me. I'll play through the game, but in the end, I just want to shoot my friends. So as long as I get that opportunity as many different vehicles, that's it. I'm happy. I'm simple.
Just not the Blue Marine. Leave that one out.
I really don't like the Blue Marine.
It's very slow. Very, very slow.
It's just, I don't know.
You get unlimited
Slippy,
missiles.
You know, Slippy, I love you, Slippy, but man, besides the complaining, some of the vehicles, I don't know.
Yeah, Slippy was very concerned about what you think of those vehicles. Like,
yeah.
So Fox, how is it? How's it running? What do you think?
You're like, it could have been a little better. Like, yeah, really?
Maybe you
like some deflector beams on this baby. I don't know.
Maybe some lasers, more rooms sharks for like awesome lock-on stuff in the submarine.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Peter, do you have anything that you want to see in the Wii U version? I'm guessing hopefully you'll see it this year at E3.
Yeah, I hope I get to see it too. One person at our site saw it last year. But I want to see customizable spaceships. Maybe you're playing as different characters who have ships that are, you know, like you identify them by their specific ship. That could be really fun, but like George said, really just the plain simple action that we love that's just fun. You know, it's not too complex. It's just really tight and refined. I just want the game to play well.
Yeah, just don't ruin it.
Lock it at 60 frames per second. Lock it.
Yeah.
You need that for a game like that. Just lock it at 60 like a lot of the other Wii U stuff. They've been doing a really good job. Like Mario Kart, locked at 60. Do the same thing for Star Fox. All right, well, hopefully we'll see that sometime this year. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be right back with some more news and retro discussion type stuff. So stick around or take a second and jump on eBay, because when these episodes come out, I've been getting lots of complaints that prices get jacked up quite a bit. So maybe do that right now before going to the next segment. We're here for the final segment, and we're going to be talking about a couple things that are coming up really soon. PAX East is just right around the corner now that we're recording this, but last second, I got asked to be on a sports video game panel. I know, so that's weird, but Rich Grisham was very nice enough to have me fill in for someone that was not able to make it, so I'm going to try to put a retro spin on this discussion for people that, it's on Saturday at 4:30. It's just about people who have fallen out of their love for sports video games just because they've really gotten a little weird with like trading cards and like how deep they are. And they are no longer just like Ken Griffey's baseball on the Super Nintendo or just fantastic games like NFL 2K5. Now it's just Monopolies and just no fun. So I'll be talking about that. So if you're going to be at PAX East 4:30 on Saturday, and I'm going to try to make a back of my play meetup, because I know people were asking for that. So if you're going to be there on Saturday, just start hitting me up on Twitter. And I know, Peter, you're going to be on the Retro Game Roadshow again.
Chris Kohler from Wired and I will appraise your rare video game items.
Steve's not coming out.
I don't know who else is going to be on the panel just yet. Okay. I think Chris is still talking to some other folks. Did it at PAX Prime last year with Mike Micah. It was a lot of fun.
I hope somebody Mike brought is in. There.
Yeah, I'd love to see him again. Somebody brought in this amazing limited edition music box that had to do with the release of Final Fantasy VII in Japan. And this was a handmade music box of really, really high quality that plays Aerith's theme. And they're super rare and super limited. And this kid brought this in, and it just totally floored everybody.
That sounds amazing.
Over the PA system. Yeah, it was really cool. Like, this is such a good opportunity for people to bring stuff out there that maybe no one else has seen before and showcase it. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
I'll bring Rob.
Oh, yeah. Bring Rob with the... Do you have the stacking things? Like the things to stack?
I do. I have the stacking things.
You get a complete Rob.
I have a complete... He is. He's complete. He completes me.
And Georgia, you're, of course, going to be there. Isometric is doing a panel, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to be there doing a panel with Isometric, which is a gaming podcast, but it's crazy. And I'm also going to be doing a discussion panel on cultural discourse with Tracy and Christine. I'm a psychotherapist, so I'm actually there's a reason why I'm doing that talk as well. So those should be really cool.
So I want to give you a second to first talk about the panel on cultural discourse. What are people going to expect if they come and check that out? Do you know what time it is too?
I think that it's 11 o'clock on Friday.
Okay.
And on the panel, what we're going to be discussing is how to have discussions about people of different cultures that can come to an actual conclusion with, instead of having a fight with people. So we'll be talking about different ways to arrive so you can both win, because there's no reason, like, discussions are really important, but I think that it can be difficult when you're coming from two opposing sides. And so how you can both be on the same side with it, how to make discourse something that's enjoyable instead of antagonistic, and hopefully helpful to people with some tools and tips on how to deal with that.
I'm also curious how you do all this stuff, because you also are an editor at iMore.
Yep. Yes, I am.
And you're on multiple podcasts.
Yeah, I'm on a couple of podcasts.
Would you sleep?
I do sleep. I'm lucky. I have a really great support system. I also work for myself, so that makes it easy. So I can make my own schedule, which is wonderful. Why go through schooling if you can't do that? And I love doing this. I love people. So I have a lot of fun to get to do this. So I'm getting to be the keynote at NS North if you're in Montreal, April 10th and 12th. And nice. I'm going to be going to Ireland to do Yule March 30th and 31st. So I'm like, you know, you have one life. You might as well enjoy it. And so I try to prioritize the things that I enjoy that I get to do. And I'm fortunate enough that I'm able to make the time for that. So I just prioritize the stuff that I enjoy and then do it. I don't know. It's my thing. I'm just going to say yes to do new, cool, interesting things. It's fun for me.
That's my goal for 2015, is to say yes more, like dead serious.
Yeah.
Like, I always turn stuff down. Yeah, why not? And like, you got to do stuff. You know?
And do the things that you enjoy. Why do you think your time is your most valuable commodity? Totally. Why spend your most precious commodity doing things that you may not enjoy or might not be a new experience? And if you do horribly at it, whatever, at least you tried.
I want you to quickly, if people haven't checked out Isometric, it's you, Brianna Wu, Mandy Myers, and Steve Lubowitz, is also in Boston too.
He's going to be in Boston. He's also going to be doing two panels. Bree's going to be there. Maddie's going to be there. And they're all in like, you know, that area. So I'm the anomaly, coming from Montreal, and the anomaly probably on the show. We're all anomalies on the show, which is crazy and a wild ride. And we have so much fun when we get together, because they're just fabulous people. So it's a different show. It's, I don't know how to explain it, really.
You say that like it's like almost a, not that you're saying it like it's a negative, but I've been listening to, I probably listened to like 6 or 7 episodes now, and I've just really been enjoying it. I really recommend that people check it out, because I mean, you guys have awesome discussions that are not happening on other shows and other websites. And you're also having a lot of fun and just talking about games that you love playing. And, you know, it's good to, you know, be critical of some games. You know, sometimes, you know, I just feel like people are, you know, it's hard to find like a good voice on a podcast that you feel like you relate to. You know what I mean? So I think you guys are doing a really good job, and you have a really good diverse cast and diverse opinions, and you aren't afraid to like have arguments with each other, but debate about stuff, which is great.
We will do all of that. I think that the coolest part I think about the show is that like 30% of our audience don't play video games.
Oh no way.
Yet still listen to Isometrics. So yeah, it's like the entire show is, it's like there was no template. Like they just, it was kind of like, you want to do this podcast? And then we got together and there weren't really any rules. So we break every rule to how to podcast.
Do you think like the game of the year episodes are a good place to jump in or?
I don't know. It's a hard thing because we have so many inside jokes that if you don't like there's some of the stuff that is iconic to Isometric. It's from like the first podcast. We're hoping to do like a little wiki thing or like a podcast that will like speed you up to all the inside jokes. Cause a lot of it are like inside jokes and the show kind of evolves with time. Like every person's role is, I don't know. It's kind of like a soap opera of podcasts. So a lot of people will start at the beginning and like just bulk drive and do like all of them, or some people move backwards and then, but then they only get the jokes at, like it's, I don't know.
I went in blind. It was fine. I totally went in blind. Like I forget.
Did you?
Yeah. I just like, it's my podcast app downloaded the latest episode like 3 weeks ago. And I just went in and I forget what you guys were talking about, but you know, it's a great podcast. You guys have strong opinions on stuff. And, it's just different. Like I feel like almost all the video game podcasts I listen to, I don't really listen to many. They're just kind of all the same. You guys do something a little bit different and, you know, just huge props to you guys. And go, I mean, probably the best way to check out the show is to go to 5x5.tv/isometric. You can check out the show on there and also at Isometric Show on Twitter. And, just really, really great stuff.
Thank you.
Peter, what are you up to, man? I know you're constantly doing stuff. You're over at GameSpot.com and when able, streaming some video game stuff out of there. What are you guys up to?
We're doing a pretty big push into tech at the moment. So I'm kind of helming that, I guess.
You did the new 3DS stuff I saw.
Yeah, I'm doing a bunch of that. You know, it's we're doing a mix of sort of really in-depth technical stuff because some of our audience wants that. Then we're also, you know, doing sort of the middle of the road things that aren't too technical because, you know, we're just trying to be a good resource for people who want to know more about tech as it relates to gaming.
Yeah.
So yeah, just doing that. It's fun.
Good deal, man. Well, you can obviously check out Peter at PC Brown. Georgia is at Georgia_Dow. I am at Kevin Larrabee, and at Back of My Play is the Twitter account for this show. And I want to retroactively apologize for my caffeinated state this week. I know this is like, it's kind of a running joke, but I was really tired, you know, and sometimes I want to make sure you guys have a good show. And then I can't put my thoughts together when I drink a caffeinated beverage full of chemicals made by a company that just wants to give you a lot of energy, which I think is great. I think that's going to do it. Check out.
Are we being sponsored by Monster right now? Is that what's happening?
No, it is Rockstar Recovery.
Rockstar, sorry.
If anyone from Rockstar Recovery is listening, my email is kevin@backofmyplay.com. No, but for real, Georgia, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was a blast, and it's really weird to talk to someone whose voice I've been listening for the last 3 weeks while shoveling snow and running a snowblower all day.
The voice that makes you want to go in and get a hot chocolate.
Totally. And play some Star Fox 64, man. Jeez.
Right. Yeah.
I think I might actually, I'm going to watch some wrestling tonight, but I got that Nintendo 3DS. I might be playing some more Star Fox 64.
You can't help it. It's so good.
I know, but we're done with the show's over, but I will say like, this is, if I was ever going to buy a game digitally from Nintendo, even though I hate their practices for digital games, I would totally have Star Fox 64 3D on my 3DS at all times. Like you can jump in and out of it so quickly. You can play through it in 35 minutes. It's great. Peter,
yeah,
thank you so much, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, dude. Always love to do this. And Georgia, very nice to meet you.
It was wonderful to meet you as well. Yeah. And we share this our same favorite quote. Though, Kevin, you kind of got out of what your favorite quote was.
My favorite quote is like,
yeah, it's like, I noticed
it's when I think of favorite quotes, like, you know how people have those wavering calendars, like those calendars with a quote every day on it.
No, you have to pick your favorite. You made us on like live. You have to now feed to the fire.
Probably when Falco says, "Fox, you're supposed to shoot them all." Dumbass. Like,
really? But I didn't remember the quote that way.
I think it was, that's in the director's cut.
Insinuated.
It's on the virtual console. Right. If you want to get the director's cut version, Miyamoto had him say dumbass. And
right.
In the game.
I could see him thinking that. Yeah, that could happen.
Whenever I see Miyamoto speak, I touch someone else, I just think like he's calling them a dumbass. I don't know. Just with that grin on his face. He's the best. He's why I play video games today.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Very true.
Legend of Zelda, really? Ocarina of Time, Peter?
I know.
Do you play video games?
Hey. dude, I love Ocarina of Time as well.
Sure.
Just not as much. I don't have the same fondness.
Yeah,
for
it doesn't hit. It doesn't. Yeah. I liked it too, but no. Metroid. I like Metroid better too. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Super Metroid, we have not done yet, but that is down the road.
Love Super Metroid.
It's a pretty good game. Metroid Prime.
It was an amazing game.
Okay. The show's over. The show's done. So I'm just rambling right now. So if you can stop listening to the show, I'm just going to talk for a second about Metroid Prime because that game, I've never played it before, but I got it when it was $10 on the Wii U. And man, that game is pretty good, huh?
All the Metroid games are amazing.
Metroid,
you know, Metroid Metroid, I love Metroid. They did really great games. When you're doing the Metroid game on the
not the Wii one,
on the Game Boy, it was just like, it's an amazing Metroid. I cried. It was,
but not Other M, not the one when like she's crying about the Metroid, right?
So Other M's story is really bad, but the game is fun. It's different, but it's still Metroid.
I've had it sealed on my shelf for like 3 years. I should probably get rid of it. I don't know.
You should.
You gotta play it.
You know, Super Metroid. That's a good Metroid game.
It is an amazing Metroid game.
That's pretty
Metroid 2 is also really good, though.
Hell yeah. You know what? Metroid 2, like the soundtrack for Metroid 2. Holy crap, that's coming out of a Game Boy.
It's amazing. Oh. I like those two. They were my favorite actual Metroids.
Dun, 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 dun. Like, man, like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Brings you back.
Oh, by the way, next week's episode is going to be Mega Turrican with Greg Stewart and someone else, probably. Should have mentioned that earlier. That's a pretty good game, too. all right, well, we're going to wrap this up because I'm just rambling, and this is just, I apologize. This is not how I normally run the show. It was, I was all over the place. I'm going to try to get some sleep next week and to make sure that I'm not all over the place. So, again, thank you to Georgia and Peter. You can check out all that fantastic stuff in the show notes at backofmyplay.com. There's also a Patreon at patreon.com/backofmyplay, which, you know, if you enjoy the show and you want to throw a buck per episode my way, that is, that's pretty cool. And I will thank you as always for that. Well, that's going to do it. I'm going to stop recording because I don't know how to end this episode any other way.